travel to different churches, you definitely see how far things are by the hours, and then you count the 100-mile marks versus the mile marks, and we thank God for it. A little bit about myself, though, as Pastor said, my name's Caleb Edwards. I'm a pastor's kid, so don't hold that against me. It'll be all right. We'll get through it tonight. But I grew up in church. I have five brothers and sisters, and my dad pastors a church in Toledo, Ohio. That's where I met Brother Brent there in Toledo and talked with him a little bit. And but my dad's been pastor there for 31 years, and then God's used him. And of course, I grew up in church, and I know some people think as a pastor's kid, growing up in church, you kind of have life head start of everybody else. You just can make decisions are a little bit easier for yourself in serving God. But, you know, before I got saved, I lived a rough life. You know, I've been shot. I've been stabbed. I've been in many different fights. And I remember one incident where I got hit across the face with a shovel, and I thought my life was over. But God saved me from that at the age of 8 years old. So praise the Lord for it. All that stuff did happen. I got saved at the age of 8, but all that stuff did happen. My older brother shot me in the head. My younger brother stabbed me with a knife. My older brother hit me across the face with a shovel, and I did think my life was over. And so all those things did happen. It's just, I guess it's how you tell it. So praise the Lord for it. But I got saved at the age of 8. Growing up, I didn't want to be a preacher or a missionary. I had nothing against that. I wanted to pursue engineering. My grandfather was an aeronautical engineer for the military. His team designed the Patriot missile that is used in the Iron Dome, and his team designed tanks and weaponry of all sorts. And it's funny because we'd always tell him, we call him Papaw, we say, "Hey, Papaw, look at this new weapon they came out with." He said, "We designed that 10 years ago." And so we were a little bit behind him, but I wanted to pursue engineering. So after high school, I started schooling engineering and everything, but in 2008, I got married to my lovely wife, and in 2009, I wanted to go to Israel. I grew up, you know, my dad always taught us to love God's chosen people. So I went over there just to be a blessing, and God started opening doors, and I didn't want to make any rash decision, didn't want to make a decision out of feeling. I wanted to make sure that's what God wanted. But in 2010, I was called to preach. At that time, you know, we had our first kid, and I got all my training under my pastor, which was my dad at the local church there, and served as assistant pastor for him for 5 years, and then God kept opening up doors. So since 2009, I continued to go over to Israel just to try to be a blessing to the people. And the way I'd finance that is I had my own little business that I ran in Toledo, and God just allowed us to make enough to finance those trips. And we'd pay our way to go and be a blessing. But God just, He just kept opening up the doors, and we didn't know what door to go through. You know, growing up, my dad always said, make sure you go through the doors that God opens up. Well, if there's three doors that open up, what door do you go through? And so you got to really pray about it. So anyway, long story short, this year we stepped out by faith on deputation. In July of this year, we stepped out full-time on deputation on that, and God has blessed ever since. You know, to date, the Gentile ministry, we've been a part of starting two churches in Israel, one in Tel Aviv and one in Ashdod. We've also been able to, God be the glory, hand out over 16,000 Bibles all over Israel. Israel and across the world there. But God has allowed those things to happen. Going over to Israel is not easy. Getting in with Bibles that are all smuggled in. And people ask, how do you get those in? My response is the same way. I can't tell you. But we get them in. To God be the glory on that. God has continued to bless. And people ask, why Israel? And I always go to the Bible. That's my foundation. That's what I can stand on. Is the Word of God. And so I go to the Bible, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. God was telling Abraham, it's through you. God chose Abraham. He chose a people. You see, in Genesis chapter number 17, God made an everlasting covenant to Abraham. You say, what's everlasting? It's the same as your salvation. It's forever. He made a covenant with his people. You see, in Genesis not only 12 and 17, but Genesis chapter number 26, he reaffirmed that covenant to Isaac, Abraham's son. Also in Genesis chapter 28, he reaffirms that again to Jacob, his grandson, Abraham's grandson, which his name later changed to Israel. We can see in Deuteronomy chapter 30 that God tells Moses that this land, land of Canaan, is the land that I have given to you and to Abraham, your father, and Isaac and Jacob. We can also see in Psalms 105 that David used what God told him, that this land belongs to us, giving the people a charge, the excitement to know that God's behind them. But it doesn't stop there, though. You open the Bible anywhere, it talks about the Jewish people. I see in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, that Israel is the apple of God's eye. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 10, again, it says Israel is the apple of God's eye. I do know, with all the conflict that is going on, I do know where God stands. It's with Israel. I can see in the New Testament, I can see throughout Scripture that it's to the Jew first. That principle is used throughout all of the New Testament. The very first thing when Jesus was teaching his disciples was to the Jew first. He told them specifically in Matthew chapter 10, he told the disciples, do not go to the Gentiles, go to the Jew. He told them that specifically. And people go, you know how Americans are. They want to be the ones that are chosen. They want to be the top, you know, dog. Nothing ever happens to us Americans. Well, you look at Scripture, and my response, me as a Gentile, Matthew, we see in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 27, we can see that even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That's us, folks. It's by God's grace that crumbs have fallen. And now we have been able to be saved, and God has used that. But it's so important that we just go to Scripture. God has chosen a people. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. So it's basically, where do you stand? You know, this year was the first time. I know we're not Southern Baptists, but Southern Baptists have been very well in getting missionaries to Israel and helping finance different things. But this year was the first time that the Southern Baptists Convention was questioning whether or not they should pray for Israel. You know, it's not just them. I hear that in independent Baptists and Baptists alike that why? It's our turn now. It's the Gentile age. Well, it's not. It's still God's chosen people. He hasn't cast them aside. Read Romans chapter 11. It explains all of it. And I just thank God he uses me in his service. And it's not nothing I have done. I've just allowed myself available. Just like many of you, you could share testimony of God has blessed and used you to see a soul saved or this. You're just making yourself available. But on that note, I'll go ahead and do the slides right now so you can see that. If it works. All right. So the Gentile ministry was started by Dr. Brian Sharp in 2005. In 2005, as many of you know, there was a roadmap to peace by President George Bush and Prime Minister Sharon. They gave a strip of land, the Gaza Strip, which is the western, southwestern side of Israel. That strip is roughly 10 miles long by 2 miles wide, packed with 2 million Palestinians in that strip. Ever since 2005, the giving up of that land, and mind you, the Jewish people were ripped from their homes, physically ripped from their homes, and taken out of there, the land that God gave them. But they're ripped from their homes. The Palestinians were put there. And now, since 2005, Israel has received over 7,000 rockets from them into the land of Israel, trying to kill the dear Jewish people. And you'll see that here in a second of different samples that we've gotten. But this is my family. This is my beautiful wife, Joanna. This is my oldest son, Caleb. My younger son, Tucker. And then my little girl, Evelyn. Please pray for them. I encourage you to get a prayer card on our table back over there and pray for us, if you will. But they're back home now. I know my oldest son, he's in school, so they got to get to bed. And as Pastor said, I'm going to be driving back tonight, 5 hours, but it'll be okay. I usually sleep. I just put it in cruise and go to sleep. So, anyway, that's what the grooves are for on the side of the road, isn't it? But yeah, so anyway. This is a picture. I don't know how well you can see it, but this is a picture of the Bibles that we handed out. We were on the Egyptian border, Colonel Guy Baton, when we were up there on his base there with his platoon. He allowed us to get those Bibles out. But I always tell people, if you see a Jew, many people will freeze up. They don't know what to say to a Jewish person. First thing I always tell people to do is thank them. Thank them for what they've done. If it weren't for the dear Jewish people, we wouldn't have the Word of God. What they went through in getting us the Word of God. Look at all through Scripture what they did in getting us the Word of God. And so just thank the Jewish people for getting us the Bible, getting us laws of morality, family structure. That comes all from the Jewish people. And God choosing them, of course. But it's just amazing how God has opened the doors. But we were able to get these Bibles out to each and every soldier in that platoon up there on the Egyptian border. This is Dr. Brian Sharp, the founder of the Gentile Ministry, which I live about 5 miles from him. We work together out of Missouri there. And right now we're getting ready to plan a trip at the end of December. We'll be heading back over to Israel and getting supplies there. But this is Matthew Pollard. He was saved here in the States. He's a Jew. He's now a citizen of Israel. And he's been very instrumental in helping us in starting some of the churches over there. As I said, we started two churches. And he's the one that helps a lot in the church in Ashdod over there. This is Commander Guy Mayudik. He's retired now, but he was instrumental in allowing us to get to the Eshkol region. The Eshkol region is the southern half of the Gaza Strip. It's the communities that align the border, and those communities, no one can just go down in there. They have to have special permission, which we have been able to get, and now we are always invited back over there to get them the things that they need. He's, like I said, he's retired now. And this man right here, Keith Isaacson, he is now in charge. He's a Lieutenant Colonel, Keith Isaacson. He's in charge, and he loves what we do. Of course, we talk to him on a weekly basis. And this is his brother, Brent. Now, these two men are Ravshots. A Ravshot is the head of security of the community that they're in. A Ravshot can tell you exactly how many people are in his community at all times. He can tell you if someone's leaving or going. He can tell you if a rock is out of place. He can tell you if a footprint is where it shouldn't be. Matter of fact, some of the supplies that we've gotten them with night vision and stuff like that, they were able to stop a terrorist just this last month with the night vision that they acquired. And it's all by a Ravshot. He saw a footprint that was not supposed to be where it was at. And that's how sharp these guys are. These men sleep very little at night. And matter of fact, you remember the war that happened over there in 2014, Protective Edge? Many of these men, they slept in that 51-day war with Hamas. They slept maybe 2 hours a week. So their bodies started to shut down at the end of that. Many of our friends there lost hearing for a matter of months. But they do that in order for the families to live in peace on the border there. But you can see here the supplies that we get them, a Leatherman tool, a multi-tool, you know what that is, the multi-tool, a little pocket knife. Here we get from Leatherman $38 to $39 a piece. Over there that costs $250. For instance, we get them night vision, we get them flashlights, we get them bulletproof vests. We get them binoculars, we get them spotting scopes. People ask, why do you do that? Well, first off, I know in Scripture, as I said, we always go back to the Bible, Romans chapter 15, verse 27. It is our duty as Gentiles to minister unto them in carnal things, which are these, because we've been partaker of their spiritual things. So in Scripture, it's what we do in order to get the Word of God to them. And I also say, if David and his mighty men were standing before us, and they needed supplies, would we not want to equip them with those things? And the answer would be, I'd hope so, yes. And so that's what we do. We get those supplies, but obviously the most important thing is the Word of God, in which we get them back. But it's amazing to see how God keeps opening up the doors in those areas. This is a picture of me and my wife. This is the Mediterranean here. And this is a dear Jewish couple that we met there. As we were passing by, I saw them, they wanted a picture taken, so I went over to take a picture, and then I started talking to them and got them two Bibles there. But I show this picture because just a young couple like me and my wife, there on the beach, but their faces lit up once they knew there are people out there that really do love them, really do support them. And they don't just say it, but they do something about it. You know, they look at the United States. Of course, they love the United States. But they look at the administration and what they're doing. They look at the whole world and how they're coming against them and how they don't even want them to build on their own land. They don't even want them to be there. And just to see a face, you could just imagine trying to put yourself in their shoes and seeing someone that really does love them. I mean, we're there physically, loving them and giving them back the Word of God that they got us. I mean, their face lit up. It's just amazing to see how God's blessed in those areas. This is another place that we met some dear Jewish people. She was in charge of the Jewish group on here as elderly Jewish people from Haifa. And that's the northern part of Israel. But these people that got off, the dear Jewish people from there, many of them are Holocaust survivors. Many of them have stories of where they were in Auschwitz or another concentration camp during the Holocaust. But I thought it was amazing to see how God got them through all those things to bring them to this point for us to get them back the Word of God that their people originally got in us. It was just amazing to see that testimony there. This is myself and two IDF soldiers, Israel Defense Force. The reason they call it the Israel Defense Force is because they never go on the offense. It's always defend. In the news, they'll say Israel struck this or that, trying to kill. This is something you don't hear about a lot about the terrorists and the different groups over there, is many of them will build their military bases under hospitals. So if Israel or someone were ever to strike them, it'll be all over the news that they struck a hospital or they struck a school where children are. And the reason being is because those terrorist groups will fire the missiles out of a school, or a hospital. And so they're very conniving people. But these two soldiers here, we are able to get the Word of God and supplies. But this place right here, this is on the border. This is Kerem Shalom. I'm not far at all. I'm right on the border. This community is on the border. And there's a wall maybe 100 yards from us. It's about 20 feet high. It's a cement wall. And that wall is to help protect them from snipers or small firearms of that sort. But the Palestinians will take candy. In this community, in communities that line the border, they'll take candy and they'll dip it in poison. And then they'll put it in slingshots and shoot them over the wall for the little children to pick up and eat. Just trying to kill as many Jews as they can. The same, you hear about the tunnels being dug over there. We've been in all those tunnels. They're roughly 150 feet deep. And you might not know this, but Hamas digs 6 miles of tunnel every month. Right now they're digging tunnels. Matter of fact, there's an article I read yesterday. A terrorist was killed in the tunnel because he got electrocuted. There's electricity in all those tunnels. But they dig these constantly, trying to get to the Jewish people and take as many as they can out. But these communities that align the border, the children will go and they'll go into a bomb shelter waiting for the bus to arrive, a bulletproof bus. And the bus arrives, and the children will get on the bus one at a time. And the reason being is they have to get one at a time because Palestinian snipers will try to take them out before they get on the bus. And the buses will have to stagger their times to pick up the children. So they can't pick them up at 7 o'clock every day because the Palestinians will take note of what time the bus arrives. Then they'll fire a rocket. So they'll stagger those times to pick up the children. This is what they live with every day. And people say, why don't they leave? Because it's their home. It's the land that God has given us. It's important that us Gentiles, we back them up and make sure we stand with Israel on that. This is myself and Dr. Brian Sharp with some more Rav Shatz. This is Chaim. He's the head Rav Shatz of the Kerem Shalom, that the kibbutz we were in. This is Noam. This is Danny, and this is Daniel. All Rav Shatz, each and every one of them. He's the one that lost his hearing during the last war. And we keep in contact with each and every one of these guys on a weekly basis, some of them daily, always being briefed, always finding out what's going on, trying to see what we can do in order to be a blessing to God's chosen people. Because it's something that I challenge every Christian to do. When God said, I'll bless them that bless thee, challenge it. Bless God's people and see what happens. See what happens when you're a blessing to God's people. Get them the Word of God, going to the Jew first. And as I said on the Jew first part, in the New Testament, you can see the Jew first principle over 40 times in the book of Romans, over 40 times in the book of Acts. You can see it over 25 times in the book of Ephesians. The Jew first principle is over and over, going to the Jew first. And it's not just going to the Jew. It's going to the Jew first, then the Gentile. What did he say? He said, go to Jerusalem first. It's going to, you're just practicing. You ever heard of the Judeo-Christian values or principles? That's the foundation which we were built. That's the Jew first principle. If you don't believe me, look up J. Frank Norris. Anybody ever heard of J. Frank Norris? I have his letter that he responded to Harry Truman on. Harry Truman, the president, of course, asked J. Frank Norris on what to do with the nation of Israel. What to do on voting. Matter of fact, there's an article, if you want, you can sign up on our updates and we'll give you historical things that have happened and what is happening now. But look it up. Theodore Roosevelt, when he was president, he received a letter from the king of Saudi Arabia saying, don't ever allow those Israelis to, in some provocative language, to allow those Israelis, the Jewish people, to own the land of Palestine. And Theodore Roosevelt's response was, no, I will never even consider them having that land. 7 days later, he died. Truman takes the White House. Truman was a Baptist. Truman takes the White House, and then as we can see what happens there, he's the only person in his cabinet to vote for Israel to become a state, which we see what happens in May 14, 1948. So it's important we know our history, where we come from. Truman was a good man in, as far as that goes in voting for Israel. But they did ask him, they asked Truman, Truman, why did you vote for Israel? You're the only one in your cabinet. Why? He said, I remember when I was a little boy in Sunday school class. My teacher taught us, I'll bless them that bless thee, and taught us to love the Jewish people. So you Sunday school teachers and whatnot, don't think because you're teaching some snotty-nosed kid and they're not listening, you don't know who you're teaching. But it's important that you take that role seriously. This is a small sample. I don't know how well you can see that, but this is a rocket there. You can see rockets here, rockets all along that. There's hundreds and hundreds of them. As I said, there's thousands of rockets that have been fired from the Gaza. But it's just, it right now, just the other day, we had a rocket fired at one of the kibbutz that we were just in June. A rocket that was just fired. We just talked to the head Ravshot of that. He said everybody's okay, but they just fired a rocket the other day. This is what a rocket will do. You can see those, how big those holes are, what that will do to the human body if you were hit by that. One of our good friends, Ravshot Zevik, and the War Protective Edge, he was struck directly by a rocket, taken out. And, we have those things in memory of him, but he was doing his duty as the security guy, the Jewish man of this community. You can see here, and by the way, those bullet holes, those rocket, the shrapnel holes, that's only 50 yards from elementary school. I don't take many pictures of the elementary schools because of protection of the children, but if you can see them, the elementary schools are basically bomb shelters in protection that they don't get shot at by the rockets. Now, this is my wife and then two soldiers that are in Jerusalem. This is the border police. These are the soldiers you hear about on the news that have been stabbed, shot. Now, there's other police officers and soldiers that get, but these are the ones that are in a lot of the friction in areas of Jerusalem. And so we were able to get them, of course, the most important thing, the Word of God there and in their hands, and then got them some supplies. And of course, my wife goes with me. She doesn't go with me when we go down to the hot spots in June when we were there. We were watching ISIS and Egypt fight. They were just a mile from us, and we were watching them, and the ground was shaking as the bombs were going off. That land when they're fighting there in the Sinai, ISIS has gained control. So you have ISIS in the south. You have ISIS and Hamas in the Gaza. You have Jordan and ISIS is over there. You have Syria and their turmoil, the Syrian rebels. You have the Syrian Assad's regime. You have Hezbollah. You have Iran. They all surround Israel. They all hate Israel. And one day they're all going to go against Israel at one time. But as the prophet Isaiah wrote about Damascus being destroyed, just got word from one of our contacts over there. He called us and said he was up on the northern part of Israel, and he saw the road to Damascus, and he saw Damascus. It was a clear day, and he saw it being destroyed right before his eyes as they were fighting over there. So I always tell people, pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And don't forget the Jewish people. It's important that we know our history. How many of you liked history in school? I loved history. And, you know, I was always taught, if you don't know your history, you don't know where you were. And if you don't know where you were, you don't know where you are. If you don't know where you are, you definitely don't know where you're going. So it's important we know our foundation. And our foundation was founded upon the Word of God, in which we know that the dear Jewish people suffered a lot just to get us the Word of God. You know, we have the Word of God and them preserving it all these years. God chose them. I mean, we can't even hold on to the King James Version for 50 years, let alone all these years, thousands of years. God chose the Jewish people. I'm not jealous of that. I just thank God He considered me to even be a dog to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But just to use me in any way. But getting the Word of God back to the Jewish people. Please don't ever forget the Jewish people. If you look at your history, there's a man named Solomon. And he was a financial man in Washington's day, George Washington. And at the very last war, one of the last battles, we were all out of money. The United States, well, it wasn't the United States yet, but we're all out of money. We're fighting. There's a Jewish man that gave up everything, all his finances, to buy as much as he could. And a matter of fact, he died broke. But George Washington, after the battle and after we won, he went to Solomon and he said, is there anything I can do for you? He said, remember my people. Matter of fact, if you take a dollar bill today and you look at it, if you see there's a star on there, multiple stars, and you look at those stars, they align, and that's the Star of David. Would you see the star on the Israeli flag? It's so important that we know our history. So important that we see God is still blessing the Jewish people. He's blessing them physically. One day He's going to bless them spiritually with 144,000 Jews being saved. But you see, God is still blessing them. You know, 80% of Nobel Peace Prize winners are Jews. You know that most of the Jewish people, famous people as far as a doctor here and this, he specializes in this, it's a Jew a lot of the times. God's blessing them. It's important that we get behind the dear Jewish people. We're not adopting their Judaism. What we're doing is just getting, we love you. Thank you so much for what you do. And pray for them. Because one day is coming that the biggest revival ever to take place, when we're up in glory, is going to happen. Well, who do you think's planting the seed? I told you over 16,000 Bibles have been handed out just by the Gentile ministry. Somebody's got to do the groundwork. Somebody's got to plow the seed. Somebody's got to roll up their sleeves and do the hard work. Everybody wants to harvest, don't they? Everybody wants to see more souls saved, which I do. I just saw a soul saved just last week in the church I was at in Michigan. But what was I doing? I was reaping a harvest that someone already planted a seed. Someone's been planting the seed. Someone's got to do that. And that's what we're doing with the Gentile ministry. We're just letting God use us. And of course, my last picture is this. This is why this church is here. This is why I do what I do. This is why you do what you do. It's because that tomb right there, I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's the tomb our Savior was in. And He only needed 3 days. And He's alive and He lives forevermore. That's why we do what we do, because we serve a risen God. It's so important that we continue to do that, backing up the Jewish people, making sure that they're getting the things that they need, and most importantly, the Word of God. Look at Scripture. Always look at the Bible. You look at the book of Ruth. What was Ruth? A Gentile. What was Naomi? A Jew. What'd she say? Wherever you go, I'll go. What did Orpah say? She kissed her and left, went to her family and her gods. Did you hear about Orpah anymore? What happened to Ruth? Let's just say she was infused into the genealogy of Jesus Christ. She had Obed, Jesse, then David. Why? Because a Gentile decided to follow a Jew. Look at Rahab. Look at every time. What was the Isles of the Gentiles along the Galilee? I've been there. That's where our forefathers were. You know, we're not Protestant, folks. We're Baptists. We go back farther. We go back, and I'm not going to get in all the history. I'll save that for your pastor. I'm sure he's taught you many of these things, but it's important that we get back to our roots. And you see in Romans chapter 11, our roots is the Jewish people. That's where we got, our forefathers followed them because why? They had the true God. They serve the same God as we do. They just, their eyes have been blinded for some time. But when that fullness of the Gentiles, Romans 11:25, look what happens in Romans 11:26. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel. So I don't know about you, but I want part in the biggest revival. And I won't even be here. But what I want to do, just start planting the seed. I just thank God he's allowed us to do this, getting back the word of God, them getting it to us and opening all these doors and God blessing here and blessing there. And you know, I had one couple, and I'll stop with this. I could go on for days. This is only 12 pictures. I have thousands. But there's one couple up in Michigan, and I have Bibles back here, and I always tell people, if you know a Jewish person, take a Bible. It's free of charge. Give it to them. But they said, I don't know any Jewish person, but I want to take a Bible. Where do I look? Well, I told them, you know, many malls have Jewish people working at the kiosk. But I said, you know what? Why don't you just pray? Just pray. Dear God, please send a Jew my way. The very next day, they were at the doctor's office. And they noticed there was two menorahs. They said, you know what? I wonder if this doctor's a Jew. I asked him. Sure enough, their doctor was a Jew. The person that they've been going to. They just didn't know it. Until God opened up their eyes when they prayed for that. And now what? They just got a Bible out to a Jewish person. What are they doing? They're practicing the Jew first. It's so simple, but it's so important that we get back to that. Thank you so much. Yeah, any questions? Yes, sir. Okay, so majority of Israel is full of secular Jews, but of course you have the Orthodox. The Orthodox they're very hard to read. I've talked to some rabbis that they're very nice, very, very receptive. But I've talked to others very little because they won't give me the time of day. But we do suffer persecution. We don't put things on our website. It's like when I speak at places, I don't want them to live stream it or anything like that for protection, just because of where we've been. We're persecuted here in the States. People know who we are, what we do, but we just rely on God to get us through those things. But the religious people, you know, it's a catch-22. You just don't know what they're feeling like, but they're pretty receptive for the most part. Any other questions? Yes, sir. At first, we had it in our apartment over there, and we had to be very quiet, singing and, you know, the Bible study. But now we have a building, and it's on the Sabbath, Saturday, so no one's out and about. So we can sing a little louder and stuff, but we still have that, part where we get persecuted if they find us out. And, you know, if you're a citizen of Israel, which you can only be if you're a Jew, unless you know certain people, but if you're a citizen, you can't be kicked out. Our representatives over there that are citizens, it's the religious people. It's not the government. It's the religious people. They're just like, in Jesus' day, remember they're always trying to get to him? Same thing. They'll take, they've been known to take a box of rats and fuse them with diseases, and then they'll take that, knock on your door, and usually your wife will answer because you're working or something, and they'll take that and they'll throw that on her, trying for her to catch the diseases that those rats have. They've also taken provocative pictures of our missionary women, and posted their pictures everywhere and said that they're prostitutes and putting their number out. They'll do anything to get you to quit. So it's just one of those things we have to deal with. But we know what God's called us to do, and so we just do it. So, yes, ma'am. Jesus' tomb. Now, with the tomb, there's no inscription that says, this is Jesus' tomb. He laid here, you know. But I fully believe that that was the tomb. Is in a Jewish garden. Everything points to that. It was carved into the rock And actually, when they're looking at it, it was carved last minute for someone else. Only rich people had those types of tombs, which was Joseph. The very last minute, they carved it for someone else. So everything points. I believe that was the tomb. When you go in, you stoop down, kind of like the apostles did, and you walk in, and there's nothing in it. So praise the Lord for it. So, amen. Any other questions? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. What's that? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, this is an iron tomb. Right here, room, cross. And that's where a round of 13 feet stone, as well as its pride, was rolled in that cross. Right about there, about a three-quarter inch to 1 inch steel spike.